Today's daf is daf Kuf Chaf Zayin. So we got to the last six lines of Kuf Chaf Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a brisa. It's the very last narrow line of the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan Mitoch Shenemar Achbar. So that the fact that we learn the din of an achbar in the pasuk, that's one of the Shemoneh Shratzim. Shemei Ani, I would have thought that a few achbar shebayam sheshmo achbar. If there's some type of mouse or rodent that's in the sea. A picture in the book of a mouse, I don't know why. But anyway, so you have some type of mouse that's underwater. So one might think that's one of the Shemoneh Shratzim as well, since it's called an achbar. Vidinhu, what? Okay. Vidinhu, say, Timei Becholda, it's logical to exclude an achbar Shabiyam. Why? Because Dinhu, Timei Becholda, Vitimei Beachbar. We know that the Chulda is Tamei, we know the Achbar is Tamei. These are two of the Shemoneh Shratzim. So by comparison, Ma Chulda bin HaGadol HaAretz, just like a Chulda is something that grows, that rather lives on the ground only, there's no Chulda in the water. So Af Achbar min HaGadol HaAretz, the Achbar that we're describing in the pasuk is the only one that grows or lives on the ground, not the one that lives in the water. So I'll call her the Derech Zer. Zua, maybe go the other direction. Maybe we should say, Tima B'Chulda V'Tima B'Achbar. And ma'chulda kol shishma chulda af achbar kol shishma shishma achbar. Maybe we should say, just like when we say a chulda, any animal that's called a chulda, that is considered shma shratzim, even though the chuldas only exist ba'aretz, but we should say the same thing. Anything that's called an achbar should be tame as well, regardless of whether it lives ba'aretz or bayam. So maybe that's the direction we should take. So the Gemara says, again, af achbar kol shishma achbar afilu achbar shibayam shishma achbar. Even that should be included. Tamalomar al ha'aretz. Therefore, the pasuk says al ha'aretz only the achbar that lives on the land, not the one that lives b'yam. The Gemara says I al ha'aretz. If al ha'aretz is the pasuk, yachal al ha'aretz yitma yar liyam lo yitma. Maybe we should say it's based on the word ha'aretz. Maybe we should figure out where you're touching this achbar. Maybe only when you touch the achbar ba'aretz would one be tame. But let's say the achbar goes into the sea. The same exact mouse that's on the land, but let's say it jumps into the water, and you jump in the water after, maybe there shouldn't create tumah. We're not talking about where the animal lives, we're talking about where you touch, where you come into contact with the animal, so maybe there you shouldn't become tumah. That's what Al-Ha'aretz is telling us. Tama lomar ha-sharetz komakum she-sharetz. No, wherever it crawls, wherever it walks, that's going to be metame. Meaning, as long as it's an achbar hala'aretz, and that's the type of mouse that we're referring to, so whether or not you're touching it bayam, whether you're touching it ba'aretz, kol ha-sharetz, that's going to be where a person becomes tame. So Gemara says, maybe not. Oh, enu ela ha-sharetz. Maybe ha-sharetz means kol ha-mashritz. Maybe only animals that are able to reproduce, and puruvu, yitma. That's what mashritz means, to have more shratzim. Shein ha-mashritz, that which does not reproduce, lo yitama, should not become tame, and then I would be otzi ha-achbar shechetzu bas vechetzu ha-adama shein parav rabba. Maybe we should use a pasuk, the word ha-sharetz, not to describe where you're touching the animal, rather to describe animals that are mashritz, and this would exclude what we discussed in yesterday's Mishnah, this half-achbar, half-adama, which does not reproduce at all, it just comes from the ground. So that's perhaps what we learn from the word ha-sharetz. The Gemara says v'dinhu. So it's a dinhu that the achbar, even the half basar, half adama of achbar, even that should become tameh. We wouldn't think to exclude it. Why? V'dinhu shetimeh. Because b'chulda, dinhu. Timeh b'chulda v'timeh b'achbar. Ma chulda kol shishma chulda, af achbar kol shishma achbar. Avi achbar shechetzi basar shechetzi adama. We compare it to a chulda. Just like every type of animal called a chulda is tamei, so to every animal called an achbar is a tamei. Even if it's an achbar that happens to be half achbar, half odam, but it's still called an achbar, and therefore it's going to become tamei, and we shouldn't exclude it from the word kol ha-sharetz. Oh, kol chol derech zu. Maybe we should go the other direction. And ma chulda par v'rabba, af achbar par v'rabba. Maybe we should say that just like a chulda reproduces, so too only achbars are reproduced, and this should exclude the half achbar, half adama. And for that reason, the pasuk says, tamalomar b'sheretz. We learn from the word b'sheretz that comes to include even that which does not reproduce, rather comes from itself, which creates from the ground, even that's going to be included as one of the Shemoneh Shratzim. So the Gemara then says, Amar le'a ha-humir d'rabbanan d'rava. Certain Talmud Chacham said to Rava, Ema, maybe we should say b'sheretz is la'asuya achbar shechetze basar v'chetze adama. Maybe the word b'sheretz, like we just said, is coming to include that half creature, half ground. and how shoritz is coming to kol shu shoritz, whether it, that which creates, that which reproduces. The afila achbar shebiyam, and even the achbar that's in the water is reproduces. V'mishum al haaretz, and what should we learn from the word al haaretz? That should tell me al haaretz yitama v'yarid liyam lo yitama. Maybe we're making a different drasha. Maybe use the words differently here and make a whole other drasha. And maybe we should include even an achbar shebiyam. That should be one of part of the shmaras shratzim. So Gemara says Amar le, Rava responds back. U'miyachad eshav yaseh liyam makom tuma. So after we included the water as a place of tuma, so that when the shratzim are tame, whether or not you're touching the shratzim bayam or whether you're touching the shratzim baaretz, it's going to be become tame. So the mali hacha, mali hacha. So we don't care if it's an achbar that's in the water, an achbar in aaretz. We don't really care where it grows really, and therefore you don't need to use this as a drasha al haaretz. Aaretz based on this point again. Let me make that clear. If you take a look at what is that Rashi here? You see Rashi al haaretz. I say Amalei umachash de shav yasa liyam makom tuma. Demarbis min hayam l'tuma. Once we've established that even an achbar that's in the water is going to become tamei, that's part of the Shema Shratzim. So mali ba'od b'yam, mali yatsa l'chutz. Why do we care where you're touching the animal? Whether you're touching the rodent when it's in the water, whether you're touching the rodent when it comes out of the water, that shouldn't make a difference anymore. Ein noach lidjo shamekros b'midazu ela lomar davar mekubal. That wouldn't make sense. It would be an unnecessary drasha, and therefore this whole mahalach and trying to switch around the drashas wouldn't make any sense, and therefore we throw that throughout this suggestion. Fine. So now the Gemara says back inside, V'hai al ha'aretz mibarilei lehotzi safek tumatzafa. So we just used the word al ha'aretz on the previous daf to teach us the din, that al ha'aretz is telling me that when only an achbar al ha'aretz is telling me, not an achbar shebiyam. The Gemara says, don't we use the word al ha'aretz to teach me another halacha, which is what? Al ha'aretz mibarilei lehotzi safek tumatzafa. That if there's a safek tuma that's hovering on top of the water, damar Reb Yitzchak bar Avdimi al ha'aretz lehotzi safek tuma tzafa. Look at Rashi to explain the case. It's around 10 narrow lines up in Rashi. Hai al ha'aretz mibarilei lehotzi safek tuma tzafa. Sheretz meis, you have a sheretz that dies, and it's tzafa hamayim, it's busy floating in the water. Safek naga, safek lo naga. You're not sure if you touch this mace. Af b'rishus ha'yachid sveiko tahor. Even in the rishus yachid, it's tahor. Meaning there's a normal din by tuma. There's a Safek Tuma Bershus HaYachid, we say Tameh. Safek Tuma Bershus HaRabim, we say Tahor. There's a special din here that even Safek Tuma Bershus HaYachid of a Sheret would actually be Tahor. And that's based on the Pasuk Al Haaretz. So we see Al Haaretz is telling me this din, there's a Safek Tuma Bershus HaYachid is actually Tahor by Shratim. And it's not available to teach me an Achbar Al Haaretz to exclude an Achbar Shabayam. So the Gemara answers now, Tarti al Haaretz Ksivi. It says the word al Haaretz two times to teach us two different drushes. Okay. Gemara now quotes a Bryce, the Tanur Rabbanan, Hatzav Liminei. It says in the Pasuk that Tzav Liminei, how do they define a Tzav? Is that like a toad? So you have toad, Lahavi, to include a Arud. What do they say Arud is? Arud, they don't give an answer. Okay, it's some type of amphibian. Okay, a toad and a snake. Interesting. So then, lahavi arid, this type of crossbreed, that is also included in the Shemar Shratzim. The chayin ha-nefilim, how do they define nefilim here? It's a type of frog as well, it says. Rashi explained, the sheretz mintzav, a type of toad. And a salamandra, which is the salamanders, which Rashi explains, based on the Gemara Chagiga, they were created from the fire. It comes from the fire. So then, these are also included as part of the Shemar Shratzim. When Rabbi Kiva got to this pasuk, he would do a pasuk of Shemar Shratzim. He would say, "Omer Mara Buma Asech Hashem, how beautiful are the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh lecha brios gadolos b'yam. You have certain creatures that grow in the water. Yesh lecha brios gadolos b'yabashan. Others are growing on the dry land. Shebiyam, those that live in the water, such as fish. So ilmali olos b'yabasha, had they go to the land, miyad meisus, they die immediately. And that should be yabasha, those which are meant to be on the ground. Ilmali yordos liyam, if they get to the deep waters, miyad meisus, they die. So yesh lecha brios gadolos b'or, there are certain types of creatures that grow from the fire, that's a salamander. V'yesh lecha brios gadolos b'avir, those that grow from the air, from the midair. Sheba'or, that which grows on oxygen, on air, ilmale olas la'avir, rather, ba'or, those will go from the fire, rather, ilmale olas la'avir, if they go to air, to a place of oxygen, miyad mesu, they die. And that which is sheba'avir, those which grow based on oxygen, ilmale yordes la'or, if they go to the fire, miyad mesu, they die as well. So we see each animal has its own area, arena, where it's able to live, and it can't live in someone else's atmosphere. So Ma Rabu Masech Hashem, that's how we'd say how beautiful are the creations of HaKadosh Baruch. Tanur Rabban, the Braisa says, Kol sheyesh biyabasha yesh biyam. Anything that we have in the on the ground, we have a similar idea in the water. So we had said before, we had mice that are in the water, mice that are on the ground. You have horses, you have seahorse, I'm not quite sure if that's really the same comparison, but you have other animals which are, you know, they have the dry, the land animal, and the equivalent of the water animal. So the only exception is chutz mechulda. The chulda is the only animal that doesn't exist in the water. So Amar Rabbi Zeir, my crow, what's a pasuk? We know everything has a pasuk for it, but it's the source. They didn't say we tested out, we went to all the zoos and found out which animals existed. There's a pasuk that tells us. What's a pasuk tell us? It says in Tillim, it says, Hazinu kol yoshvei cheled. Every cheled, the cheled lives in Yoshvei, they live on the land. The Yoshvei is lashon of sitting on the land. It only exists by Yoshvei, but doesn't exist by Yam. So Amar Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, Bebari dinarish, Eino mina yishuv. So what is this referring to? Rashi says there are certain types of animals that are found in a certain location called barnish. So eino mina yishuv. They don't grow on the ground. They rather only grow in the water. So it only exists in the water. So we do have another example of something that's only in the water that doesn't grow on the land. So Amar Rapapa bishamta narish. What does that mean? So he said you should place this whole city into shamta nidui because they're all rishayim. So why? Tarbe mashcha v'al yasa. So Rashi explains here, four lines down, Tarba mashcha v'al yasa, hachelev ha'or im habasar ve'elya, the fat and the skin, that's with the flesh and the tail, klemakulun kekatan kegado. They're all the same. I lost the place for a second. So Eretz, Shimi Advar Hashem. So what do we see from here? We see this Indian that, I think this is some type of phrase that they're trying to use here. Said all of them are from the katan to gadol, from the small to the big. All of them are full of rishayim, and it says in the pasuk, Eretz, Shimi Dvar Hashem, Amar Papa Lo Ava Narish Shama Dvar Hashem. So he said about them, these people don't want to hear Hashem, they don't want to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they don't want to listen to the Torah. So all these very nice things that they're saying about the city of Beibari Dinarish. So. Interesting. So it's, I guess it's not a response. Maybe what Papa was saying, it's not a response to what Rav Huna was saying. Rav Huna wasn't necessarily a contradiction. Rav Huna just said, in this place, they have things that certain creatures that only live in the water that don't live in the sea. So Rav Papa's response wasn't because of that statement. Just he happened to just once we're talking about them, they happen to be a city full of Rishayim. I think it's the fair point. That's probably correct. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Gida, Amar Rav Nirsha Nashkaich Mini Kachach. If a person from the city comes to kiss you, Nashkaich, come to kiss you, Mini Kachach, a person should cap their teeth because perhaps they stole your tooth. Of course, it doesn't mean stealing the tooth, but they were Ganavim. And then, Nar Pokodach Levayach, if one of them want to come from the city of Nar Pokod, want to come escort you along the way and join you, Miglima Shapira Dechazilach, it's because you have a nice clothing that you're wearing, they're looking to steal. And Pumbadisa Lavayach, if someone from Pumbadisa is coming to escort you as well, and to walk with you in the Derech, so here as well, Ashne Ashbizech, so we sleep in your own place, be careful when you're sleeping because they are expert robbers from Pumbadisa. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Tursa, Pamachas Alachti Levad. One time I was walking to a group of Rishayim. Ra'isi Nachash Shehu Karach Alatab. And I saw that a snake was wrapping around a toad. And they were having relations. And the Yamim, days later, went by. Yata Arad Mibayneim. And that's what we described before. This Arad is a crossbreed between a snake and a toad. So Kishabati Lefnei Rabbi Shimon HaChassid, Amri, I said to him, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Heim Heviu. So what's going on here? So Heim Heviu Bria Shelo Barasi Bolami, V'afani Avi Alein Bria Shelo Barasi Bolami. So apparently these people, this city here, were busy crossbreeding animals. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, since these Rishonim were involved in such an union of crossbreeding, so here as well, their punishment is going to be, I'm going to bring upon them a dangerous animal, that is a byproduct of a snake and a toad, also a crossbreed. V'hamar mar kol she'tashmishin iburin shaveh yoldin megadlin. Don't we have a cloud that any two creatures that have similar patterns in becoming pregnant and the whole the process of pregnancy, so then they could crossbreed with each other? But chol shein tashmish and viburin shaveh, if their times of tashmish and their times of pregnancy are not shaveh, then ain yoldin megadlin zemizeh. So take an animal that has a 10-month pregnancy, an animal that has a 1-month pregnancy. When they're so different, they're not going to be able to create any offspring. So apparently the ibur time of a toad is 6 months, and that of a snake is 7 years. So they're completely off. How is the snake and toad able to have a offspring? Amarav Nes Pesoch Nes. This was a Nes, you're right. Enechanami, this was not normal. But there's a Nes HaKadosh Baruch who changed the Teva in order to create such a creature. So hi, Peronisu. This is a terrible thing. This is Peronios to bring crossbreed. Why do you call that a Nes? So my Nes Pesoch Nes, Le Peronis. It was a Nes Pesoch Nes in order to bring about a punishment to the Rishram who were involved in crossbreeding. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu used a Nes to create the punishment. Okay. The new Mishnah tells us, a little challenging Mishnah in Daf now, if it wasn't yet challenging. So the Mishnah says, Ha'ever va'basar ha'mududalim be'behema mitamim tumas ochlin bimkomum betzichen hechshin. So what happens if there's a limb of an animal? Animal's live. When an animal's alive, we know there's no tumas nevela. There's no tumah by a live animal. The limb is beginning to detach, or some basar is beginning to detach, but it's still connected. So the law is, even though it's connected to the animal, so if a person is machshev, he has in mind that I want to serve this animal to a goy to eat, that machshava renders this basar, renders this aver to be considered food, and it would be considered tumas ochel. So what happens is, let's say a sheretz touches this, there's an animal, a cow that's walking that the leg is falling off, but it's still dangling. So I have in mind that I want to serve that leg to a goy. So that machshav alone makes this leg into an ochel. And then once I detach the leg, so then it has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids. And then if it touches a sheretz, for example, this leg will become tame, and it will be metame others. So look at Rashi just to now make that clear. See, in Rashi, we'll get to those questions. So if you look at Rashi, see Rashi four lines up, Rashi explains, bimkomam. Even though the leg or the limb or the bas is still attached, if I have in mind to feed it to a goy, that makes this food ochel. That can receive tuma, it can mitami others. It doesn't actually become tuma until you've detached it, but once it's detaching, and I have in mind, that already calls it food. So even though, it's not tame in its own right in terms of Aver Menachai or things like that until it actually detaches. But while it's attached, though, it can be Makabel Tuma once I have in mind I want this to serve to a goy. So while it's dangling, I have in mind, it touches one of the seven liquids, and then Sheretz touches it, this leg will be considered tame. It's already viewed as being detached, even though it's not actually detached entirely yet. So the Gemara and the Mishnah goes on to say now on Amud Beis here, Nishchata Behema, let's say this Aver didn't touch any liquid yet. It's still dangling, and we said it had to touch one of the seven liquids. So what happens? I shech the animal. Now shechling the animal, Rashi points out here, it's Nitaru Milatame Od Mishum Nevela. So once you perform a Shechita, so that Shechita, even though I can't eat the animal because the leg is missing now, it might be considered a Trefa, even though it can't be Matir Dechila, it is Mitaher from Tumas Nevela. So I have this cow, and the limb is dangling. I shech the cow. So now it's not Nevela. It's completely permitted. So now the question becomes, the blood that drips onto the neck of the animal from the shrita, is that now going to be considered machshir of that aver that I had in mind to eat? So the Mishnah says, Nishchata behema Huchsheru b'dameha divrei Rabbi Meir. That aver now that I had in mind to be used as food is now huchsher through the blood on the neck. Now the Gemara is going to ask, but the blood never touched the aver. The blood only touched the neck. How does that transfer from the neck into the aver? That the Gemara is going to discuss in a few moments. But Rabbi Shimon Omer lo huchsheru. He thinks that the blood on the neck is not enough to be metame to machshir the aver. Not until the aver itself touches one of the seven liquids, but the neck touching the blood doesn't help. Then the Mishnah says, let's say the animal mesa habehema. So let's say the animal now drops dead. So then habasar tzarech, habasar tzarech hechsher. That tumas nevela of the mace, the animal dying, even though the animal itself is nevela, it doesn't make this aver into a nevela. Because even though it's actually physically attached, halachically we view it as being detached, and it still requires its own hechsher. And then the Mishnah, now this, the random Mishnah, we have to wait for tomorrow to figure this out. The Gemara is going to explain this. Ha'ever is metami mishim ever menachai, veino metami mishim ever nevela, divi Rabbi Meir. Now this ever that was detached, the animal dropped dead. So first you have a cow, and the leg is dangling. So now the animal drops dead. So now that leg, do you view that leg as ever min ha'nevela, because the animal is dead now? Or do you view this as aver minachai because it detached while the animal is still alive? And the Gemara, the Mishnah says we view it as aver minachai because it was already detached halachically while the animal is still alive. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, what's the difference of aver minachai versus aver minhanavela? That the Gemara is going to explain what the nafkamina is. And Rabbi Shimon Matari, Rabbi Shimon thinks, and the Gemara is going to explain this as well, that he thinks it's tower. What that means, we'll have to wait. So a lot of open questions here in this very confusing Gemara. So now let's understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tumas ochlin in, tumas nevela lo. We said in the beginning of the Mishnah here that if you have an animal that's walking and the aver begins dangling, it's medaldolin, the lacha was that there's tumas achila. It's if a person has a mind as a food, it can be metame tumas ochlin, but it's not called tumas nevela because it's still the animal's still alive. It's still attached to an animal that's alive. That's not a nevela. So the Gemara says, hey chidami, what's the case? If the limb has the ability, malarucha means to regrow and regenerate and have the skin grow back, all that stuff, that means it's still, the limb is also still alive. That means it's really alive still, and you can't have a tumas ochlin on a live animal, a live limb. So if it's regenerating, if cells are still growing, that's not even tumas ochlin. So it can't be a case where it's malarucha. If the limb is not able to regrow and produce, so then that's tumas nevela nami letame. Then we should view that limb as something dead already. That limb should be an aver mace, and there should be tumas nevela.
It says on the bottom here, Prismatosis, tumas nevela here means tumas aver menachai. All these cases.
Tumas nevela. Okay, fine. It's actually, so it should be viewed as completely detached already, and therefore tumas nevela, tumas aver menachai. So then the Gemara says, so which one is it? Either it's going to be Natame, or it should be Tumas Aver Menachai, not Tumas Ochlin. Where's Tosas right there, by the way? Here. See that small Tosas writes, Tumas Nevela, Shemaskir Kanashas Lav Dafka, Elahainu Tumas Aver Menachai. Even though it keeps using Tumas Nevela, it really means Tumas Aver Menachai. Okay. So then the Gemara says, so what's the case here of this dangling aver? So again, why is it again? If it's able to mala rucha, it should be completely tahor. If it's not mala rucha, it should be viewed as a separate already, and aver menachai. How come we're saying it's only tumas ochlin if I'm machshivit? And so the Gemara says, because li'olam de'ein mala rucha, really it's not able to regrow. So if it's not able to regrow, shouldn't you view this as being aver menachai detached already? So Gemara says, "Shiny, this is such, so confusing. I like that Tosfos. But shiny tumas nevela, the Rachman Amar kipol at shipol. The din by nevela, which we have to say really means aver menachai, even though according to pasuk by nevela, it's only nevela when there must be a fundamental connection between nevela and aver menachai. Aver menachai is when aver menachai is defined. Whenever nevela is defined, that's the definition that we're using. Now you can't call it really tumas nevela because the animal's alive. So, but either way, we're using the same structure as the nevela. That must be the case. So when is a nevela nevela? Kipol ad shipol, until it actually falls, until it actually drops dead, that's when it's called a nevela. So to aver menachai is only aver menachai when it actually falls, when it falls off entirely, when it's entirely detached. And since it's not entirely detached, even though it's not able, even though there's no life source, even though it's not mala rucha, it's not called nevela, it's not called aver menachai, and therefore at best it could be tumas ochlin if the individual, the owner, is a machshavit leachila. Tananami Hachi, the Braisa says the same thing. Ha'ever, Vabasa Hamidul Dolin, you have a limb or some flesh that's dangling on the animal. Bibehema, Umu'urin Bechurasar, and still connected by a little strand. Yachol Yitame Tumas Nevela, one might think there should be Tumas Nevela, that this limb should be already viewed as detached, since there's no life source anymore, and have Tumas Nevela, which really means Tumas Ever Menachai. Tamalomar Yipol, Ad Shipol, until there's a complete severance between the Aver and the Basar versus the Behema, until that point, we don't view this as an Aver Menachai, and that the most Tumah we could create is a Machshava of Tumas Ochlim. So then the Gemara says, Vafil Hachi, Tumas Ochlim Etame. So wait a second, even though this limb is still considered halachically attached, even though there's no life source, and it's hanging by a thread, still we view this, it's not Aver Menachai, we could still say there's Tumas Ochlim. So that's a chiddush. So we see that misai lei. So again, you have the animal, that the limb that's attached. You have on one hand, it's viewed as attached and not Eivir Menachai. You have on the other hand, you view this as being detached in terms of Tumas Ochlin. So it's really, it's walking a very fine line here. So that what?
Hybrid.
Right. So the Gemara says, misai lei le Rav Chiya bar Ashi. This is supported by his statement. The Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel. You have figs that dried up while still attached to the tree. So with respect to tumah, it's viewed as detached. It's viewed as dried up, so it's detached lagabe tumah, but lagabe hilchas Shabbos is viewed as attached, and therefore there's a chiyav chatas for being tolish it. So we have other cases where you could view something as you said, a hybrid, partially attached and partially detached. It's a very halacha lemaisa, legabe tolish is a machlokis here, whether one is actually chayv chatas of a tree, and fruit is entirely dry up, and you go ahead, even though it's attached to the ground, but it's completely dried, if you remove a fruit, you remove a branch from it, will that be a chayv chatas or not? That's a machlokis between Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos thinks, if it's entirely dried up, there is no chayv chatas, and the Rambam thinks that there still would be a chayv chatas. This case is where the fruits dry up. But what if the fruits and the tree dry up? That's the question. It's depending on whether or not Tolish and Koter is detaching something mechubar, or it's removing something, oker davar migidul, removing something from its life source. So something dried up is attached, but there's no life source anymore. So that's the machlokas. But either way, we see from here that something could be attached to legabe hilchos Shabbos, but detached regarding hilchos Tumos here as well. Even though the limb is attached to legabe Eivir Menachai, meaning it's not Eivir Menachai yet, it's viewed as detached with respect to becoming Tumas Ochlin if one were to have that machshava. Gemara says Vayter now. Lema Mesaile, let's say it's supported by the following statement as well. It says in the Gemara, quoting from a Tosefta in Uktin, Yirakos Shetzamku Be'evehen, if you have certain vegetables that dry up with its branches, with its source, its roots, could go Nakarav, Adelas, these types of vegetables, a gourds of some sort, Ein Metamin Tumas Ochlin. Since they're completely dried, there's no Tumas Ochlin, and Rashi explains because it's not Achila. These are simply Eitz Ba'alma. There is no Tumas Ochlin by things that are inedible. When the gourds get so dried, so it's so hard, it's inedible, there's no Tumas Ochlin. Then it says, katatan v'yivashan mitamin tumas ochlim. If you cut them off and then they dry up, it's mitamin tumas ochlim. There it will be tumas ochlim. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Katatan v'yivashan? If you cut off and dry it up, that's tumas ochlim? Sagadaitach, you would think there's a tumas ochlim by yivashan? We just said eitz ba'alma. That's eitz ba'alma when you dry them up. So what's the havamina to think that if you cut the gourd off and let them dry, that should be tumah? That's eitz ba'alma, like the first case. It's completely dried up. So Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ba'almanas li'vashem. The case, if you take a fresh gourd, which is edible, you cut it off with the intent of drying them out, even though it's not dried yet, but the machshava is li'vashem, so then it would already now, it still would be considered tumas ochlin. Because right now, we look at the current state, and the current state is, it's edible, and there's tumas ochlin. So that's all l'gabe kruvin zelas. Yeah, well, whatever Liabashim, whatever he plans to do, he plans to dry them out.
So what would have to Tumas Ochlin when you're ready in your mind, you're ready to complete them out with us
food? Apparently, I guess it's not that Machshava, I guess, not enough to render it, to undo the food. Machshava, perhaps, the Gemara is talking
about... It's already not food, meaning...
No, it is food, because right now it's not dry yet. You cut it when it's fresh,
with
the intent.
With intent of...
Yeah. So saying, even though you have intent to dry them up, to
but
use...
It changed completely the meaning.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, so now the Gemara is Medayik, Taima de karav v'dilasu kevin diavashon labnei achiluninu. So this is only the only examples that brought in are things that are gourds and what's a kruv again? Cabbage. When these things get dried up, they're completely inedible. So that's when we say when they're dry, they're not achiluninu. But we want to be medayik. The Gemara says hashar peos, other types of fruit would be in fact mitame. So even though they're dried up and shrunken. So the Gemara learns, now we'll try to figure out this case a little bit more. Hey Chidami, what's the case here? Idi avshan hein v'okseyan pshita. Now if the case is where the fruit themselves dried up, along with the stems as well, they dried up, so pasha, this is an obvious din here that there's no tumas ochlin. The Tosefta wouldn't teach you such an obvious din here that if the fruit and even the stems are all dried up, it's not tame, we know that.
We're talking about something that is eaten in a dried state.
Yeah? We're talking about...
Because it's poshut that they're considered detached so that the Thomas Oakland does...
Not by the gourds, though.
No, we're talking about... Sure.
Yes, yeah, so I'm saying, no, so by the gourds I'm saying, yeah. The case of the gourds, the first case of the gourds we're saying is that when those cases are, if the gourds were dried up and they were uksayan and even the stems were dried up, that's pashit by the gourds, it's not tamer. Which would then, now you're saying, imply by the case.
What you're saying is that when it is harif shita, is referring to the fruits that are tamer, not the gourds that are not tamer.
The
saying shita is referring to the fruits that are tamer.
Oh, so once we say, yeah, is it? Yeah, so Rashi is pashut that timetame. So pashut that the shar peros in that very case would be considered tame. Why would that be so pashut that those would be tame? So Rashi explains here pshita dimetame. See Rashi the first wide line down. Lomeli lemitse. Why teach us? Lo iu gufa itzrech lashmin and eitz lo yitame. You don't need to tell me about the gourd because that we know already. It's already wood. That's not tame. V'lav diuka didei itzrech. We don't need to make a diuk either. Lashminim deachrinu mitame to teach me that others are mitame, that sharp pears are mitame. The tulushim gemurim him because once the uksin are dried as well, that is obvious that the fruit would be considered detached and would be considered tumas ochlet. So the Gemara says elalav below uksin must be a situation where the stems were not dried. Only the trees were dried, but not the stems themselves. And Rashi explains elalav below uksin. Umishum dukyo didei to make the dig is what we needed. It's reich lemisne. The avo pidil in Shabbos mechubarin hein. Even though when the stems are not, the tree is dry, but the stems aren't dry. Even though with regards to Shabbos we consider it as attached, and there be a chiv tolish chiv kotzer linen tuma tulushin hein. They are considered detached behind the Messiah. That's what we're bringing as a proof here that we're able to have this case of sharperos learn a dig from sharperos to sharperos. That legabe Shabbos, it's connected. Legabe Tuma, it's considered disconnected. So that's the suggestion. The Gemara says, no. Liolam hein vuktein. Really, we're talking about a case where they themselves were dried, as well as the stems were dried. And mekatzitzan al menas liyabashin istrechle. We're teaching this din here. If you cut off the fruit in order to dry them up, that din, even though you had intent to dry them up, the din is it's still going to be considered ochel and tumas ochel. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Taner Tashma, Gemara brings a raya, Ilan shenifshach, let's say a fruit tree was nifshach, mean Rashi explained, Nidlash mimenu anaf, a certain branch broke off, ubos anaf yesh peros. You have a branch that's already separate from the tree, and their fruit attached to the branch. So what's the halacha? Ilan shenifshach, ubo peros, harehein ketulushin, they're considered already detached, and completely separate, and the din is that they could be tumas ochlin. In yavshu, harehein kemichubarim. But if they're dried, so then they're viewed as connected. So look at Rashi. Rashi Yavshu means Perus Ha'ilon Shelo Nifshach Harehein Kemichubar. So if the branch detaches, even though the fruit is still very nice and fresh, so then we view even the fruit as being detached already. If the branch is connected, but it's dried, so then we view it as being attached still. So my love, my solution, l'chol divrem, af mechubarim l'chol divrem. Just like when we say, when the fruit is detached, when it's talish l'gabi every halacha, it's talish l'gabi Shabbos, it's talish l'gabi tuma. So too when we say it's mechubarim, when the branch is attached, yet dry, then we say across the board that it's going to be considered attached, bein l'gabi Shabbos, bein l'gabi tuma. So this would be a raya against what we're saying. And the Gemara says, no, midi area ha kedisa v'ha tekisa. Each one is different. I mean, when we say the branch is detached, it's detached legabi tumas ochlin, it's detached legabi Shabbos. No problem hilchah Shabbos. When we say it's mechuber, when it's attached, we can split it up. It's mechuber legabi Shabbos, but it's not mechuber legabi tumah. Okay, let's go further now. The Gemara quotes in the Mishnah, Nishchata Behema. The animal, we said the animal was shechted, and there's blood dripping down, even though the aver that's meduldo, even though the aver is dangling, the aver never touched blood. But when you shecht it, so that blood that's on the neck is enough to be machshir the aver as well. So, Mamak Kimbifligi, what's a machlok? It's Amar Rabbah, but Behema nasas yad le'aver Kimbifligi. They're arguing about whether or not when blood touches the Behema, is that a yad, even though the blood doesn't touch the aver, but is that viewed a yad to be able to connect it to the aver itself? Mar sever ein behema nasas yad le'aver, that the animal cannot serve as a yad. So therefore, we would not say the blood is machshir the aver. Umar sever the other opinion holds behema nasas yad le'aver, that we can view the animal as being a yad, a handle to the aver, and if blood touches the behema, which is the yad, it will then be considered being machshir the aver as well. That's the first approach as to what the machlokas is. Comes along Abaye. Abaye says, Amar be'ocha is be'katan vein gadol ola imao kamifugim. So what's a loch? If I take the katan, the aver, I try to lift up the cow is going to just fall right off and detach itself. So do I view that as being attached? If I grab an aver and I can pull the animal up, then we certainly view them as one animal. If I pull the aver up and it's going to snap, so then do we view them now as being detached since they're not able to stay strong? Or no, even though that's the case, we still view them as being attached. So that's the machlokas according to Abaye. So Abaye Amar, Be'ochet be'katan ve'ein gadol olimo. If I were to grab the katan, the small part, the heavier part of the animal wouldn't come, it would just snap off. Kamifli, that's the machlokas. Mar saver ochet be'katan ve'ein gadol olimo harei hukimo. That's still viewed as being the same animal. So even though the blood only touched the gadol, the big part of the animal, we view that as penetrating to the aver as well. Umar saver eino kamo. The other opinion felt that's not the same way. So we'll stop here, and the Gemara is going to bring Rabbi Yochanan. We'll continue tomorrow. He's going to say the same exact split that the machlokes is whether oches bekatan vein goes oleimau, whether that's enough to make the to be machshir the animal. Okay.